Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics, a program designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is continuing with a series of topical studies, and coming up, we're learning about what it means when the Scriptures say to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So let's turn to the book of Romans chapter 12 for a message called Transformed as we go back to basics.
Somebody was telling me a story the other day about when they were a kid growing up in a particular denomination. They lived in a small community, and there were a number of churches in the community, and somehow there developed, even in the community, competition between these churches. And he was saying back in junior high, he remembers encountering a kid, and the kid came up to him and kind of pointed his finger and said, "Hey, you know, I belong to such and such a Pentecostal church across town, and our women don't wear makeup." And he said, "Okay, well, you know, I belong to such and such a church, and at our church, we don't dance," or something like that. You know, and that, so those were the things. And then, a few weeks later, it came out that the church of the first kid that came up, well, his pastor ended up running off with the secretary, and obviously, that wasn't good. But then these two young kids kind of met each other again. And the one kid said to the other kid, he said, "Hey, I belong to the church where the pastor doesn't run off with a secretary." And a fist fight broke out as a result of that. So they started, beating each other up over who had the better church. And this is the kind of thing that happens when you turn Christianity into merely an external kind of a thing. You see, this is not what is primarily being spoken of here. It does not primarily refer to external things, the way we dress or style our hair, the music we listen to, the films we watch, the books we read, the places we go, and so on. Now, of course, it could have reference to these things. It could have reference to these things. With the exception, of course, of hairstyles. I don't think there is a particular hairstyle that is more godly than any other. But Paul is talking about something bigger, more pervasive. He's talking about something more subtle. So when he says that we're not to be conformed to the world, let's not think of it merely in terms of the external. This is what Paul's really talking about. Being conformed to the world is the practice of excluding God from our lives. Because that's really the mentality of the world, isn't it? That's where the world is at. Isn't this what we are seeing more and more in our culture today? The exclusion of God. The trend is to try and push God further and further out of public life. People are saying things like, "We don't want to hear about God. We don't care what he thinks or what he said. We don't want God butting into our lives. You know, if you want to worship God, that's fine. You do that down at your church, but don't dare come out in the public and express that. Don't tell us what God thinks about this, that, or the other thing." That's the mentality that we see in the world. That's the philosophy of the world. Now, you can even believe in God. You can even believe in God, but live your daily life as though there was no God. And many people do this. It's called practical atheism. You believe in God, theoretically, but the way you live your life practically would never at all indicate that you believe that there was a God. You live according to a value system that is rooted in humanistic philosophy rather than God's word, and yet go to church, say your prayers, give your tithe. But the fact is, there's very little difference between your lifestyle and that of your unbelieving neighbor or work colleague. This is what Paul's talking about when he's talking about being conformed to the world. Do not be conformed to this world. Do not let the world mold you into its image, this godless image. The less of God, the better. That's the mentality of the world. But no, as God's people, as redeemed people, as those who are to be presenting themselves as living sacrifices, we want to include God in every aspect of our lives, don't we? There shouldn't be a single place in your life where God is excluded. If there's anywhere in your life today where you've excluded God, you've said, okay, Lord, you can have all of this over here, but you know, this right here, I'm going to keep. And maybe you haven't even consciously said that, because few people do. But the reality is, that's what it comes down to. You've surrendered certain things to God, but you're still holding on to other things. If that's the case, then you're not really a living sacrifice. Because a living sacrifice is someone who is entirely consumed by God's presence and God's plan and purpose and God's will. And that's what we are called to be. Not conformed to this world that excludes God, but no, we're inviting God into every single aspect of our lives all of the time, every day. I want to be at a place where I'm just saying, Lord, just take all of me. Just, you know, whatever, if I am holding something back and I don't even realize it, Lord, I want you to take your rightful place over that. I read a quote this week I thought was relevant to this. Timothy Keller said this. He said, we will have an impact for the gospel if we are like those around us, yet profoundly different and unlike them at the same time. See, we're going to have an impact when we're like them around us, in the sense that, again, God is not calling us to change things external, the way we dress. You know, sometimes over the centuries, Christians have thought, well, you know, we've got to be different than the world, so we have to dress differently than the world. So we will make sure we're 10 to 15 to 20 years behind the fashion of the day. Now, there's nothing spiritual about that. There's nothing godly about that. And, you know, as I referred to earlier, we're the church where the gals don't wear makeup. You know, J. Vernon McGee, he was a guy, you know, from the South, and he was, you know, a down-home country boy. And you know, you could see somebody, you know, maybe coming from that culture, maybe even frowning upon the idea of women wearing makeup. But he wasn't like that at all. And you might have heard him if you've ever listened to him preach. But I'll never forget, you know, he was talking about the churches that would prevent the women from wearing makeup. And he said, well, you know, my philosophy is that if the barn needs painting, you paint it. And so, you know, that's just a good common sense philosophy, right? But the tendency to make it about externals. But I like what Keller is saying, that we need to be like the people around us. In other words, say, we don't want them to look at us and think, well, these people are freaks. These people are just weird. Look at, you know, they're living in another time zone. No, a time era, really, not zone. And, you know, that's not it. So we're to be like them in that sense, but yet, this is the key, profoundly different and unlike them at the same time. How are we to be profoundly different and unlike them? We're to be profoundly different internally, that we're different from the inside out. That we're people, as I said, who are not excluding God from our lives. We're people who God is part of our lives. And so we go about our daily lives. We do life just like the people around us, but we do it differently in that God is part of it. Not only part of it, God is in control of it. He's Lord over it. And that is a beautiful thing. That's a powerful thing. So, presenting our bodies living sacrifice, not being conformed to this world, but now he says, rather be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed. That's what God is wanting to do. That's what he intends to do. He is wanting to transform us. Now, the word transform, it means simply to change into another form. The Greek word here is the same word used of Christ at the transfiguration. Remember, we read there in the Gospels that Jesus went away with his Peter, James, and John. He took them up to a high mountain, and it says, and he was transfigured before them. It's the same exact word, the same Greek word. Now, the transfiguration of Jesus was basically this, that his divinity, his glory that was veiled under his human flesh suddenly burst forth, and they saw the glorified Christ. So when we're talking about this transformation taking place, this is what we're really talking about, that there is something that changes inside of us, and that this change inside of us results not in a physical change, but in a change of mind and heart that leads to a change of behavior and lifestyle. See, that's the transformation that we're talking about. It's a transformation of the heart and the mind that leads to a change in our behavior and our lifestyle. That's the thing. That's what's going to speak volumes to people. Not how you're dressed, but how you conduct yourself, how your lifestyle has changed, how your behavior is different, how you've gone from being an angry, impatient, violent person to being a kind and a gracious and a loving person. That's what happens. That's the kind of thing that we're talking about here, this transformation. Now, what does he say about it? Be transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. You see, as a man thinks, so he is, Proverbs says. And what we need to have is we need to have a renewing of our mind. We need to start thinking differently. But it's not just in the head. It's got to be in the heart as well. And as our hearts and our minds are being renewed, the transformation takes place. Now, what's the avenue or what's the vehicle through which this renewal takes place? It's the Word of God. You see, this is what the Word of God does. The Word of God, this book that we are all holding today, this is the Word of the living God. This is a Word that is living and powerful. You see, this isn't like any other book. This, there's a supernatural thing here because it's God's Word. And as we subject ourselves to God's Word in faith, there is a renewing that takes place inside of us that results in a transformation. Now, you can read through your Bible and you can find all different kinds of references to what the Word of God does as we subject ourselves to it. But let me just give you a few examples taken from Psalm 19 and from Psalm 119. You might want to read through those later, but this is what we're told about the Word of God, taken from those two passages. We're told, first of all, that the Word of God converts the soul. It's the Word of God that brings about that conversion in my own soul. But then we're told that the Word of God, it makes us wise. This is where real wisdom is. And the most important thing you can get as a Christian is wisdom. You want the wisdom of God. Wisdom is, it's even more important than knowledge. People can have a head full of knowledge. There are some people that are information gatherers. They've got so much information in their head, but they don't have the wisdom of how to apply that information. That's why the Bible, although it puts a priority on knowledge, it puts a higher priority on wisdom. Because you've got to know what to do with the knowledge. Well, the scriptures, they make us wise. We read also that the scriptures enlighten us. The word of God enlightens us. It brings us understanding. The word of God warns us. We're told it cleanses us. It counsels us. It comforts us. It strengthens us. It guides us. It liberates us. You see, these are all the things that the word of God does. I think of Jesus speaking to his disciples in the 15th chapter of John. Jesus says to them, he says, "You are clean because of the words that I have spoken to you." You see, God's word has that cleansing effect. So here's what I'm saying. As we read our Bibles, as we meditate in them day and night, there's something that's taking place. There's a supernatural thing that's going on, and our minds are being renewed. And as our minds are being renewed, there's this transformation taking place. Our behavior starts to change. Our lifestyles start to change. And because something's going on inside of us, it ultimately manifests itself externally, and people look and say, "Wow, that person's different. Oh yeah, they became a Christian. Well, they don't dress differently. We still see them at work. We still see them out in the community doing normal things that everybody else does. But yet there's something that's changed." You see, that's what Paul is talking about here. Being transformed by the renewing of your mind. This happens through, as I said, reading the Bible, meditating in it day and night, as we're told to in Psalm 1. And I would add to that this: read good books that will help you better understand God, help you better understand Christ, the gospel, faith, salvation. We have so much available to us today. It's absolutely amazing the resources that we have in the English language. Far surpasses anything that anybody else has in the entire world. We've got access to all of this amazing information and content. We need to take advantage of this. We can listen through technology. We can listen to great Bible teaching. All of this stuff, it has this kind of impact on us that we're talking about here. But the important thing, of course, is that you believe what you read and that you do what it says. Now, why do I throw that in? Because it is possible to know a bunch of stuff, but not have any transformation taking place. You know, the Pharisees were the most knowledgeable people of the day when Jesus came into this world in regard to the scriptures. They knew the scriptures better than anybody. They knew the scriptures so well that you could take and you could drive a nail through a stack of text, and they could tell you, when the nail was extracted, they could tell you every letter that was missing. That's how well they knew the text. But the tragedy with them is it didn't change their lives. How could that be? And you know, the same is true today. You can meet people that know the Bible very well. They've got all the information in their heads. They can rattle it off. But it hasn't changed their life. They're still hateful and vengeful and rude and obnoxious and without grace and mercy and involved in gossip and slander and things. You know, this is a reality. How can that be? Well, this is what happens. You see, you can get this stuff in your head, but like I said, it's got to be in your heart too. So you've got to believe it as you read it, and you've got to then apply it. You've got to put yourself under the authority of the Word of God. You're not just reading it to get information. You're reading it with the intent of God, do your work in my life. You know, pastors can fall into this trap probably more easily than anybody, because you're reading your Bible to get sermons for other people. You can easily forget about yourself. Oh, this is a great message for those guys. Oh boy, that sinful group in the church, man, this is the message for them. I don't do that, of course, but I have been tempted to at times. But you know, now I've got to come to the Word of God and say, Lord, yeah, I'm going to teach your Word, but unless it's doing something in me first, then what's the point of me teaching it? But this is the way it works for all of us. We've got to come to God's Word, submitted to its authority over our life, coming in faith and believing it and letting it do its work. And through this, your mind will be renewed and your life will be transformed. And then the last thing Paul says, and we'll close with this, he says, and as a result, you will prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, at the end of the day, what I want to make sure I'm doing is I just want to make sure I'm in the will of God. How can I know that I'm in the will of God? Well, this is how we know. Present your body a living sacrifice. Don't be conformed to the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and you will be in that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That, as you do that, just as it's declared here, that puts you in that place where you're in God's will. Now, being in God's will doesn't mean that every second of every day you know exactly what the mind of the Lord is, so you can, well, I'm going to do this because this is God's will for that. No, but it's more just in a general sense. You're just living in the context of God's will. And then God is leading your daily activity by his Spirit as you go along. But that's where we want to be. And this is how to get there. Total surrender. Now, some people are frightened by the idea of total surrender. Some people think, oh, you know, if I give up everything, if I just surrender everything to God, that's so scary. That's so frightening. Listen, it's the best thing you can do. If it seems frightening, then you've got the wrong take on it. Because think about it. This is the God who made you, and he made you for a purpose. This is the God who didn't simply make you, but this is the God who redeemed you. This is the God who came and gave his life to purchase you. You think that your will could possibly be better than his? Not a chance. Don't be afraid. You know, I look back, and I remember when I was in my teens, and I remember this season where I was really being drawn to the Lord. And at a certain point, I just got freaked out, and I just got scared and thought, no, you know, if I go down that road, it's going to, you know, I just bought into the lie that it was going to be bad for me. And so I held back. I resisted. I didn't surrender at that time, and it was a few years later that I finally did. But, you know, I look back, and I did then, and I do now, and I think that was the stupidest thing I ever did. My biggest regret in life is not that I became a Christian. That's the greatest thing I ever did. My biggest regret is that I didn't become one sooner. You know, you can be a Christian, truly a believer in Jesus, but still holding on, still thinking that somehow you've got a better plan. You don't. I'm just telling you. God's got the plan, the best plan. And so that's the call this morning. Just complete surrender, and that complete surrender then will lead to transformation and you becoming the person that you always hoped to be. That's what God will do.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics Radio with Pastor Brian Broderson. We'll return next time with more biblical insight from the Scriptures, but if you missed any part of this study or you'd like to review it again, you can do so by going to backtobasicsradio.com, click on Resources, then Audio. There you'll find all of Pastor Brian's teachings through the Bible, and you can either podcast, stream, or download for free. If you'd like a CD, you can call us at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message by title or resource number. Today's message is called Transformed, and the resource number is BBT0009. If you have any questions or encouragement, or would like to support this ministry, we'd love to hear from you, and you can contact us directly at backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thanks again for tuning in today, and we pray the Lord continues to strengthen and encourage you in your faith as we study through the Word of God together. Our God, you reign forever. Back to Basics Radio is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.